Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know. You know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Welcome in. Saturday Suckage. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you. Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score, for 3 hours of Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. In these challenging times, we take the burden seriously. And here we are for that. Mark Grody, how are you?
Chicago's Sports Radio 670, the Score. Sports, Stevie Sunshine, is
sports
upon us. There's an actual Cubs game on the Score tomorrow night. Cubs and the White Sox, and hopefully both of those teams will open their respective seasons for real a week from yesterday. That would be the next Friday in life for the Cubs and Brewers out at Wrigley
Field.
Next Friday
in life, a memoir.
That's the best way to describe it. The next time you see a Friday on your calendar, that is when real baseball will be happening on both sides of our city, just like that. Boom, there it is, baseball.
No, whoomp, there it is. That's the,
oh, yeah.
The Cubs have just discovered the 1990s. So let me ask you something, because I was going to say, are you like me? But I know you're not like me. But I had had, so I need some therapy on Dr. Rohde's couch. So I'm going to lay down now, and we're going to go through this. I've had issues committing to reading up on everything and wanting to know everything about the Cubs and Sox and Blackhawks and Bears as a fan. Now, we do it professionally? What do we need to know? What are the stories? What can we talk about? How do we do this Saturday Suckage radio show? But as a fan, I had everything I read with it was under this umbrella of it's going to be a waste of time. They'll never finish this. Some might not even get started. It was like the sports version of fear of commitment. I could be doing something better. Now, as far as the Hawks are concerned, without Corey Crawford and with Jeremy Colliton, they got no shot. Sorry. Unless Malcolm Subban or Colin Delia spent the quarantine becoming Patrick Waugh, it's just not going to happen. The Bears are a whole different thing. Ryan Pace doesn't know quarterbacks or tight end. Nagy doesn't know his own quarterback, and his quarterback shouldn't be playing quarterback. So they're just a whole mess. But then, like reading Gordon Whitmire's piece about the Cubs tuning out all of this, and other places wrote it about the Cubs tuning out all, forget arbitration, forget all of the, you know, back off nerds was the idea. This is 60 games, and the score is going to have tomorrow's first practice game, the crosstown practice game. So how did you get so far ahead? What did you do to believe this? Because you were giving out standings yesterday. You were giving out win totals. You were acting like this is normal. There's nothing normal about this. And I don't want to waste my time committing to something that is going to be useless in the end. So how did you, Mark Rohde, do this?
Well, part of it, Steve, honestly, is hosting solo. When one hosts solo, one has to come up with lots of content. And I have made up my mind that my theory when I am hosting solo shows that I would like to spend most of my time discussing the actual sports. Like, I made an active decision to proceed as if there is going to be sports. It's kind of like, part of the reason is because obviously my primary job at the Score is to cover the Chicago Bears on a daily basis and training camp and all of that. And of course, I've been obsessively trying to find out, am I going to be in Lake Forest on July 28th covering Bears games, or am I going to be sitting on my couch on a Zoom conference call, or none of the above?
Yeah.
I was told by somebody high up in the business that is part of the NFL that proceed as if there are going to be games and everything is going to be normal, but don't necessarily expect it to be normal. So my philosophy has been be ready, be prepared, be well read on the topics at hand, and then there won't be any problems if they strip it out from under you and that there are no games. One advantage you should have, Steve, and I do too, is that being in the business makes us a little bit more jaded, a lot less fan, hopefully a lot more objective. So I don't think, and I'm projecting this on you, I don't think you are one to carry sports in your heart at this point, unless it goes back to little Stevie Sunshine as an 8 or 9 year old. But my guess is that you're not feeling passion necessarily, whether this was a 162 game season or a 60 game season. So tap into your jaded side, Steve, when it comes to this, as in you're not going to get emotionally attached if you allow yourself to, as I have, do deep dives and do picks on every single team in Major League Baseball, as I did yesterday. Thanks for listening, by the way.
I do. I always listen to you, and I listen to Lawrence. An aside from what we're doing here, discussing the professional part of it, that you and Lawrence do an excellent job of solo talk radio, which I think is a difficult thing to do, so difficult to the point I won't do it, and I just don't think it's good listening. You guys make it terrific. So I'm listening to you, and I'm going, and that's when it struck me. It's like, Mark's doing this like a fan. He's doing it professionally, uh-huh. And I realize I need... that part of this is the jaded part of what do I need to know, breaking it down that way. But then it hit me. It's like, well, it's 60 games. And then in reading stuff this morning, and you think about David Ross saying, you know, you're hot, you play. You're not, you sit. and that might be one game, because suddenly that's three games. There's the multiplier involved, and suddenly it's like, wow, we're going to watch this new manager, and in fact, we're going to watch two new managers. We're going to watch a guy getting his first experience in the big leagues in a shortened season when expectations are this is the last dance for the team with which he won a World Series, for which he was a central emotional sheriff. And then the other guy on the other side of town, he can't wait. He's not developing anybody anymore. This is, it's go time. It's ready, set, play. It's ready, set, win. Ricky Renteria, there's no excuses. That's it. Go. And that part of me that stepped out from the jaded professional part was, that's when I said, I need to talk this over with Grody. He's way ahead of me on this. So that's why we're here doing what we're doing, Doctor.
Here's what we're going to do then, Steve. Here's the way the cure will be. My suggestion to you. No, actually, this is what I would like you to do.
Doctor, give me the
news.
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah. I would like you to do, you know, let's see, 11:25, we'll have Steve Rosenblum's picks for Major League Baseball this year.
Yeah.
I okay. made hey
moving
hey,
right
it,
along.
It made me feel a little bit normal yesterday when filling in for Lawrence Holmes. I went through every single baseball pick, my prognostications, and in case you missed it, I've got the Tampa Bay Rays winning it all this year. Blake Snell and that Rona. Hey, what's up with that Rona? They're
going to
win it all. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So
Rays and the Rona.
Rays and the Rona, yo. By the way, wow. I should say this, too. Let me implement one of the show moms into the program at this point.
Gene. Hey, Gene, not Alice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, not Alice yet. We can get to Alice. Gene Grody yesterday, I went talking to her on the telephone, and, you know, she listening to some of my solo shows when she has had the opportunity. She said, well, you know, it's going to be she's feeling it. She's like, it's going to be good for you on Saturday when you can get back on with Steve and you'll have somebody to play off of and, you know, just have somebody to talk to. It'll be a little bit easier. I'm like, yeah, you got it, Mom. You got it. So.
No, it won't. I just get in the way. I appreciate that, Gene. I love you a long time. I'm you, the Gene and Gary Grody. I feel like the adopted son you never adopted and you're staying away from. So I can feel that love, the big radio embrace. But I do think you do an excellent job. You're just sort of talking to people instead of talking to me, and that's great. I don't have that confidence. I don't think I'm that interesting. I think you, Lawrence, do an excellent job, and I'm glad Gene tunes in every once in a while to see what her adult son is doing.
Yeah, she clicks on and off every once in a while. And incidentally, I will be in next Thursday and Friday, noon to 2, for Lawrence Holmes while we're at it. Lawrence Holmes, as we say in the business, getting some much-deserved time off this week. So Joe O's going to be in a couple of days. I'll be in a couple of days for Lo-Ho next week. But we'll hold it down, man. It's do what you got to do time of the year. You know what I'm saying?
It is. Something else that really that I wanted to... that made this connection for me of like where I felt like I want to watch this. There are two things. Last week, I watched and listened to Jason Benetti and R. Chuck do
yes.
a White Sox
yes.
scrimmage. And
uh-huh.
and it was Dallas Keuchel day. Oh, my
yes.
God. First of all, Jason Benetti and Chuck Garfine are professionals. They could work with anybody, probably except me, but they could work with anybody. And the fact that they're together and they're in that booth or not in that booth, but they're on the same mic and they're talking baseball. The best thing, you go way back and you listen to Hawk and Wimpy. And their broadcast always sounded like two guys at the end of the bar discussing hitting. Jason and Chuck sound like two guys at the end of the bar discussing baseball. And Jason and Steve, because Steve Stone is just so much smarter than everybody out there, that it makes it even better. So I'm watching that. And then Dallas Keuchel blows up everything. Dallas Keuchel throws, okay, let's put him in situations. Let's see what happens when he's working from the stretch. and he's throwing a perfect game for three innings. So, because nobody on his team that is supposed to compete for the AL Central title can hit Dallas Keuchel, they put runners at second and third, maybe with one out, maybe with no outs. Nobody's really sure. There's no official announcement. And then he gets out of it. Nick Madrigal shows off his arm. Dallas Keuchel gets out of it, walks off the field, and as if to say, now, what else you got? And it was so, like, this was the reason they brought that guy in there. And that was one moment when it's like, started to grow. The other one was, in reading about David Ross saying, look, you be ready, you know, or sit down. Go big, or I'll tell you to go home. And there's going to be no time for excuses, no time for hard feelings. Yeah, I go back to that August series against the Giants in 2015, when Joe Maddon started doing stuff like this, and he was doing the 60-game thing then. You're going to bench Starlin Castro, who had been your starting shortstop. And by the way, Jason Hamill, you're not going to see the fifth inning. It's August. Mm-hmm. It matters. Come on out. Have a seat next to me. Grit your teeth and be angry. But that was when it's that's what I compared David Ross's words to, and we'll get to see if it plays out. But that really got me excited. That was the fan in me. And you were there. You were watching that going, oh my God, this really matters now.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that makes me wonder too, this year in a 60-game schedule, because Joe Maddon has thrived typically in his career, maybe not his last 2 years down the stretch in a season, but Joe Maddon does his best managing, typically even going back to his Tampa Bay days, in the late July, August, and their fourth portion of the schedule. And hopefully David Ross, although he's clearly his own guy and is going to do things differently than Joe Maddon did, hopefully he did pick up that urgency factor, and you can't screw around when there's 60 games left in a season. And to the differences as well, since you brought up David Ross, we finally heard one very succinct difference between the way Joe Maddon will manage the team and the way David Ross will manage the team, and it involves one player. I don't know if you heard him discussing Kyle Hendricks, who was named the Cubs opening day starter, but David Ross said he kind of thought it was comical that oftentimes Kyle Hendricks was, especially younger in his Joe Maddon tenure, that he was not allowed to go a third time through the lineup. And the most symbolic example of that would be Game 7 of the World Series when he pulled,
yes,
right? When Joe Maddon was like, that's it. I want Lester coming in this game because he could throw a wild pitch and two runs could score. But
the guy who ended the Dodgers series has a 5-1 lead in Game 7 of the World Series, but we can't let him keep going.
Right. So I think that David Ross, just because everyone wants to know, how's he going to be different? Well, there's one really good example. We kind of have a rough draft, you know, personality-wise, how he's going to be different. But there you go. There is one exact concrete example of how David Ross will deal with his team differently. He's going to let Kyle Hendricks go longer in games.
Well, he's going to go with the best guy. And that reminded me of Joe Torre. And I know Joe Torre gets – there's some – lack of credit. Well, anybody could manage that team, and I remember Jim Leland making a joke about it. Talking about closers, and Detroit always had closer problems, and he remarks, he says, Joe Torre's got Rivera over there. No wonder he just sits on the bench swinging his legs. And so Joe Torre used to get a lack of credit. There's some lack of credit, but it's harder to manage. It is very hard to manage when you're expected to win. And you have to handle probably more, it's more psychological than it is personnel. And that is an art. And Joe Torre was dealing with an owner who was nuts, as well as some players who were playing in the biggest media market. And what he did was he just said, nobody's here. Your scholarships don't matter. Game one is going to go to the guy who I think can win game one. And it might have been David Wells, it might have been Roger Clemens, it might have been David Cohn, whoever it was. It always seemed to be Andy Pettit in game two, because Andy Pettit was going to play game two the way Joe wanted him to. But there was always that, there was never one guy. It was never, well, John Lester's the guy, he's going to have to pitch game one. You always, Didn't you sense that under Madden that it was he was going to go, you know, the seniority route and not somebody he thinks could win that? And a manager should win that day's game. Of course, those were longer seasons. Didn't you sense that with Joe?
I did, for sure. I think he felt a sense of duty to go often with...
He said
duty. He said it. Oh, yeah. That John Lester, because he's John Lester, John Lester should be the guy. But this was... See, because coming into this year, based on what you just said, if somebody would have asked me 2 weeks ago who's going to be the opening day starter, I probably would have said Yu Darvish, based solely on what he did towards the end of the season. And he was terrific. Mm-hmm. He was great in his last, like, even if you look at the game logs, his last five, Yu Darvish, his last five games, he absolutely straight up dominated. However, here's what I think may have gone into some of the decision making as well. You know, Yu Darvish, if you go back to last year too and you look at those game logs, he was awful in the beginning of the season. And, like, I think he had 7 walks his first game. He had a bunch of 4 and 5 walk games early on. He had an excuse for every game, and it looked like more of the same from the previous year. Yu Darvish was not trending well in the beginning of last year. You cannot afford to have a slumpy start. And for some reason, Yu Darvish takes a little while to figure it out. He's a slightly more fickle personality. I think he's got too many pitches in his arsenal. He's got a lot to think about, whereas Kyle Hendricks just goes out there and does it. So I think that that probably went into the decision-making as well. Not to mention that, more to your point, Kyle Hendricks looks so damn good in that practice game the other day, as you like to say.
Well, he has all along. And I also think another part of this is that David Ross should not be able to get away from the fact that Yu Darvish is a guy who has an extraordinary amount of pride and willing humility. There's almost a guilelessness to his honesty and self-examination and the way he takes it seriously. And I do think, if I were David Ross, from what I know about Yu Darvish, and David Ross always obviously knows more, he's seen it, he can certainly talk to more people about him, I think this is a guy who would burden himself to such a great degree in a situation like that. It's a shortened season. He had a terrific finish. Can he start off that way? The team has to get off on the right foot. And there's a guy, and we've seen him. I mean, there were some games against Milwaukee before where he's throwing balls down the right field line, or he can't field the bunt, or just where there's you think there's a meltdown. And I think it is somebody that places such, everything is extra stressful for him because he's a man of terrific pride. And I respect him for that. But at times you just have to breathe. And maybe David Ross says, you know what, pitching game two, breathe. You know what, we'll have Maddox go in game one, and then Jose Guzman can pitch in game two and maybe pitch a near no-hitter. That happened. Maddox opened the season, and Jose Guzman got into the ninth inning with a no-hitter, pitching game two of the season, and nobody was there. Yeah, that was, hurry, get ready to rush down to Wrigley, I was told. Oh, thank God he gave up a hit. Yes, Jose Guzman. Greg Maddox, there was people who covered that team. I remember Brian Hanley was covering the Cubs when we were both at the Sun-Times. And Jose Guzman was saying, Greg Maddox, Jose Guzman. And Mary Hartman, I guess. Anyways, I think that went into David Ross's thinking. I don't know. Do you have any other insight on Yu Darvish and whether the psychological part of it played a piece?
I think that's fair. I do. I mean, just like I said, like he had a... obviously, his first year was just a train wreck with the Cubs, mm-hmm. whether it was when he was actually in there and then the subsequent injury. And then, like I said, last year he was bad at the beginning of the year, too. So, you know, you give him a little, you know, space. Give him his space. The interesting part is I was talking to the deluxe Mark Gonzalez yesterday of the Chicago Tribune.
I heard that. You had a deluxe interview with the deluxe Cubs reporter from the Chicago Tribune.
Did you hear him say that he thinks Tyler Chatwood could end up being the third pitcher in the rotation and not John Lester?
I did hear that, and I immediately thought of Mitch Trubisky, and here's why. stuff. Tyler Chatwood's stuff is unbelievable when you're just watching it when it doesn't matter. And then when it matters, the way, same way Mitch Trubisky can look really good in practice and helmets and shorts and all that, and then you're going to make him face some kind of a real hitter in Chatwood's case or real defense in Trubisky's case, and then it's, oh my God, it's oh no time. That's what I thought of. I understand what, and then with all respect to Gonzo, we've seen a lot of baseball, he's seen a lot of pitchers, and maybe it's different this year, and maybe I'm just still scarred from that. Did you not think that we've heard this about Chatwood before, and then he walks the ballpark?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is about, okay, so 2 years ago, we know Chatwood was, something was wrong mentally with him, right? Because he had the yips, something, because he wasn't just walking guys, he was missing badly, like comically.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Wilson Contreras jumping all over the place, trying to catch him. Last year, they put him in a position to win. They put him in, not always safe spots, but positions to win, positions to win. And sometimes he was put in high leverage. He was not put in the highest of leverages. I mean, those distinctions ended up going for the most part to Rowan Wick and eventually to Craig Kimbrell, and that's another whole topic as well. And so he succeeded. Even in his spot starts here and there, he succeeded. I just wonder now, even with all the stuff that he has, and he's got it, man. He's got a good arm. Will it be get back in his head now that you're every fifth day or sixth day or however David Ross handles things this year? Hopefully it doesn't get back in his head. One thing to his advantage, or maybe Cubs fans watching him, their advantage, is that this is the final year of his contract with the Cubs, and we all know that guys, whatever, there's always that little magic bit of adrenaline that occurs when you know that it's a money year and a walk year for Tyler Chatwood. So it's interesting. It's really, I mean, like I've said the same thing about the Cubs and the White Sox. I am sure about their top two guys. Giolito Keuchel, yes. Darvish Hendricks, yes. Beyond that, we'll see.
I have, in all of this talk about being excited about the season, I'm looking forward to it. The game's tomorrow, Sunday and Monday. You'll hear them on the Score, Cubs, Sox, one at each park, and the practice games. I mean, look, it feels like a Legion season. So it's American Legion all season. So we're going to call them practice games the way they do in Legion ball. And then they're scheduled to start the season if something, if everything plays out, fine. And I still have doubts they're going to finish it, but I'm excited to see things start. And in talking about David Ross, I think there's the biggest decision he's going to make, I want to talk about next. After this break, I want to tell everybody what's going on with our show. There is some actual planning being done by Trash Panda. And at 12:20, James Fegan of The Athletic will be here. The White Sox are undergoing some changes, and a lot, and it's money, and it's the personnel department, it's human beings not in uniform. But the biggest question is, what does this mean to all of those in uniform? We'll talk to James Fegan about that. At 1 o'clock, Nancy Armour, longtime friend, longtime acquaintance, longtime press box acquaintance, I meant, longtime somebody who has been covering sports for AP and USA Today. She has written about the house of turds that is the Washington NFL football team, and the story from the Washington Post about the sexual harassment that went on. 15 women in that organization came forward. And every woman in sports has unfortunately endured this. And people like me who looked over it, didn't do anything, didn't realize it, just too busy doing something else, doing the job, I was racked with guilt about this. But Nancy will give us insight on this and where it goes from here and how it gets better. Sometime in the show, we're going to do What Are You Doing, Wegner? We have that. And our text line, the Tech Zone, is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And as usual, should someone mistakenly call? Now, the text line is 312-644-6767. Should someone place a call to that number, then we will hear the breaking call sounder, and Trash Panda will introduce the caller to you and me, Mark, and then we'll carry on a conversation. And so when you weren't here last week and Espo was, we had another caller-free show, so there was no reason to use the call sounder.
That's 10 in a row.
Yeah, it is. We're running quite a streak. We'll see if we can get through the entire baseball season. Anyways, that's what's going on. I don't know. 312-644-6767 is both the number and the number to call and the text line. Mark and I are broadcasting from our individualized versions of the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we come back, David Ross's biggest decision. How impatient, how patient, how's he going to work this? I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde. Saturday Suckage, of course. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Our hands have tough duty every day.
He said duty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was Mark Trestman. Okay. I do have a whole... In What Are You Doing, Wagner? There's a Bears quarterback mention, former Bears quarterback mention, examination. It's quite a thing. We'll get to that. But when last we left you on Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum and Mark Rohde here, David Ross's biggest decision, now he's made his starting, his game one starter decision. It's Hendricks, then Darvish. And you talked about Chetwood, and a texter that I saw you respond to said, don't say walk here with Chetwood. That's really good. And who knows with John Lester, we know David Ross was brought in not to be John Lester's caddy, but to snap him out of it, to talk straight to him, and that he can do that. And now he's got problems with Rizzo's back, and Rizzo was one of the two likely leadoff candidates, right? Chris Bryant the other, that was the talk. And now how are you going to handle Wilson Contreras when you've got 85 catchers on the roster? What are you going to do with that? His biggest decision in my world right now, how long will he let Craig Kimbrell suck? You have no time to wait. You have no way to rebound from Craig Kimbrell sucking. How long can you let a guy try to find himself in a 60-game season where every game is almost worth 2.7, whatever it is? What do you think? I still think that's going to be his greatest decision. And if that is his greatest decision, when does he tell Kimbrel, you stink, I can't use you, then who, then what?
I'm positive that he will not allow him to give up 9 home runs like he did last year when his season started in late June and it just kept getting worse and worse. A 6.53 ERA he is not going to be allowed to attain this year is Craig Kimbrel. It's a great question. I think it should be one and done, to be honest with you, because this has been going on for
really?
A little while now with Craig Kimbrel. Yeah. I think it's that urgent because, I mean, if you go back, if you remember even in Boston in 2018, he struggled in the postseason, and there was a lot of people angry with Kimbrel, like we weren't in that Boston bubble. But I've read up on it, and they kind of were done with Craig Kimbrel. Obviously, he wasn't signed in 2019 until the Cubs went and got him, and there he was without the extra ticks on the arm in terms of velocity and miles per hour. So if that is similar, if the velocity is down and he's given up home runs or home run in his first appearance, I think it's time to sit him down. I think it's time for Jeremy Jeffress or Rowan Wick or whomever, if you want to do a mix and match situation. Maybe you put Kimbrel someplace else and you rebuild his confidence and give it another shot at some point in time. But you can't mess around, man. And there's enough of a sample going on with Craig Kimbrel going back to 2018 that he may not be your ninth inning guy.
Do you have time to rebuild anything? You use the word.
It's a good point.
When you talk about rebuild his confidence, and I understand what you're saying, and maybe sitting for 3 days is enough time to rebuild. But here's, in whatever weight you give to the dynamics, one is the man who hired David Ross seemingly empowered him to make the decisions is also the one who paid an exorbitant amount of money for Craig Kimbrel to suck. So Theo has an investment in his manager to make the right decisions in a last stand kind of year. And Theo has a bigger investment in that closer who is, when last we saw it was poom poom, right? Out poom poom, out go the lights, as Pat Travers might sing. And you can't, is one game enough? What if it's Christian Yelich? What if he sucks? And it's Christian Yelich in that opening series. Let's say Hendricks goes 8. It's 1-1. Hendricks can't go anymore. And Kimbrel comes in and he gives up the bottom of the ninth. He gives up a ninth inning home run to Yelich. That sucks. You've lost a game. You've lost 3 games, essentially. But it's Yelich.
Yeah, but
so
it's Kimbrel.
Does that make... Right, I know, but does it make a difference that it's Yelich? Does it?
No,
mean?
Because it's Kimbrel. Because Kimbrel's supposed to be a Hall of Famer, right? He's supposed to be one of the best relievers of all time. You know what I'm saying? Like it. Hey, you can look at it both ways. It's Kimbrel. Kimbrel is supposed to get Yelich out. That's why he's paid the money he is. That's why he is he's had a great career. He will be a Hall of Famer someday, and he's one of the best of all time.
I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't know if I have the energy for a Hall of Fame debate, but
at the most important part of his of any team's season, Chris Sale closed because he sucked.
Well, so
that's not a Hall of Famer in my world.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right, but sometimes as years go by, it just gets down and dirty into the actual numbers. And okay, this guy saved 40 that year, 48 this, you know, and you don't look at the game logs quite as much, is what I'm saying. So I do think Kimbrel will be a Hall of Famer, but and to that point, yeah, he's got to get Christian Yelich out. You don't bring in Craig Kimbrel to only get the guys out whose names you don't know as well as Christian Yelich. So, yeah, I mean, and look, at least you don't put him in the next night. Or, right, you bring in, you try somebody else in the ninth inning, and maybe you go back to Kimbrel. But definitely not your no matter what happens, closers are going to blow saves. It happens sometimes. I think we're beyond that point with Kimbrel, don't you? Or are you all for just giving him a run?
No, I'm not. I'm worn out because I'm gun shy already, having seen him. He's lost velocity, and I've lost patience and lost confidence in him. And an 815 texter makes a really good point. Ross was the one who gave the green light to Epstein to sign him. Ross went down to the catcher went down to Georgia and caught him and said, yeah, this is what we want. Well, no.
Hey,
so,
guys, per your Hall of Fame debates, Craig Kimbrel led the league in saves, led the National League in saves, I should say, for four consecutive years starting in 2011. 46, 42, 50, 47, had 42 saves again in 2018. He's statistically one of the best closers of all time. So Grody has a good point.
Right, so that's what people look at. I mean, I appreciate what you're doing, Steve.
Lee Smith took forever, and it's all about winning. See, that's why it gets back to what we started this whole discussion, this whole show, this all of this Saturday suckage. It's about winning right now. It's not about next year's free agency, next year's arbitration. It's not about, you can't even have bonus clauses anymore. You're not going to achieve certain numbers. You're not going to finish certain games. It's about winning. And so that's always been what I've looked at as Hall of Famers, or even when I had votes in covering the NHL, when you're talking about MVP or whatever, did his team make the playoffs? And that's what matters that year or in a career. Did he win? So the Boston Red Sox needed him to be Craig Kimbrel, and he couldn't be. He was Antonio Alfonseca. I mean, he was Carlos Marmol. He was anybody but, and they used Chris Sale to close a World Series.
So, I love the way you're looking at it. I mean, I wish that everybody would drill down deeply like that when they look at Hall of Famers or potential ones and look at what they actually, like, whether it's a hitter, what they did situationally, if it's a pitcher, what were they able to do when it really mattered. But unfortunately, for better or for worse, when he comes up for Hall of Fame, it's going to be the numbers that Adam Szedzinski just gave us, and that's the dominating as a closer and the number of saves for that position. That like, if we're really doing the Hall of Fame debate, that's what it's going to come down to, even though I like the way you're analyzing it.
Look at where Lee Smith, look at the time he finished his career. Find the year. Find the number of saves. See what kind of record that was. It was comparable to Nolan Ryan's strikeout. Nobody's even second. You can't see him from there. You need the Hubble telescope to find whoever's second. And how long did it take Lee Smith, the all-time leader in saves, to get into the Hall of Fame?
So Lee Smith in 1991 had 47 saves, which in the early 90s is pretty damn good.
Don't you think it was dumb, Steve, that it took Lee Smith that long to get into the Hall of Fame, though? And that is finally they're starting to give some respect to closers, which, relatively speaking, that position has not been around that long.
I do. I don't think there's enough respect given to closers for the Hall of Fame, because every writer who votes on the Hall of Fame has at some point written about a manager's bonehead decision to leave a guy in too long, or when a closer didn't have it, or he brought in the closer when the starter shouldn't have been taken out, or whatever it was. You've written about a closer who is, and you've written about the fact that some guys can't pitch the ninth inning. They can pitch the eighth, they
right.
can't pitch the ninth.
There's LaTroy Hawkins.
Exactly. And there's such a magnifying glass. It is so big, and yet they never wanted to vote a closer in. It wasn't that big of a deal. And it's stupid. I'm sorry. It's part of the game. It's what they do with designated hitters. It's part of the game. Some guys do it exceptionally well. Edgar Martinez is one of those guys. What's up with that? Why not? Why can't you recognize? Well, he's not a real baseball player. Look, I'd rather have Edgar Martinez know he shouldn't be on the field than some guys who don't know better and they take a glove out there. That's crazy. I don't want him out there playing soccer or running pass patterns out there. I just think it's stupid the way they some writers, some voters, let's leave it at that, look at it. And closers should have been getting more respect, but I'm kind of basing what I'm saying on as regarding the Hall of Fame based on the history of the way these voters tend to look at it. Closer's really important. You got to have the ninth inning. It's the most important inning. It's the most important three outs, but no, they don't get in the Hall of Fame. Well, you're an idiot then. I'm sorry. You're too stupid. Go find another game. I'm not going to play in your game.
Steve, do you see what's happened in the last 45 minutes, man? We talked hardcore baseball, see?
I think you're cured. It matters.
Yes.
It matters. All right, well, let's talk. Let's keep this whole baseball thing alive, and let's do six degrees of baseball trivia, and it always seems to run through Chicago. So let's do that, okay, when we come back, before we get to the top of the hour. I'm Steve Rosen, Louis Mark Grody. This is Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosen with Mark Rohde talking about actual baseball.
Not bad.
Like there is actual baseball. There will be tomorrow. There will be crosstown fake game, practice game tomorrow. It's Legion Week on the north side. Monday it'll be Legion Week on the south side. I got a kick out of listening to Jason Benetti and our Chuck do the Dallas Keuchel game, such as the game was the game, or the... All right, guys, let's call it. Let's go home. Let's go to Dairy Queen. Everybody gets a blizzard. And anyway, they're going to play a practice game tomorrow, or whatever they're going to do. So anyway, since we're talking, like, actual baseball here, and I still don't know how Craig Kimbrell ever gets into the Hall of Fame. He doesn't have 400 saves. So, 6 degrees of baseball trivia. 21 years ago today, July 18th, 1999... I won't even ask you to tell me what happened, Mark. I will tell you, because it goes from here. David Cohn of the Yankees tossed the 16th perfect game in Major League history. He did it against the Expos. His catcher, you probably know, who do you think his catcher was? David Cohn's perfect game in 1999, Yankee Stadium.
It's
really not that hard. Occam's razor. What's the simplest answer for Yankees catcher on a Chicago radio station?
Oh, Joe Girardi.
Hello, Johnny Olsen. Tell him what he's won.
I was overthinking it.
Yeah, you were.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So that was his second one. He also caught David Wells's no-hitter. And I didn't know this until I talked to Girardi about something else, and it came up. The Yankees give catchers home plate if they catch a no-hitter at home. They dig up home plate, and they give the catchers home plate.
That seems fair. So,
yeah, it's great. From what I understand, they give the pitchers the rubber, and
sure,
the catchers get home plate. So Girardi has two. There are two players tied for catching the most no-hitters / perfect games. They each have four. Can you name them?
Oh, my God. So Joe Girardi
has two.
My guess is it A.J. Pierzynski?
It is not. It is not.
Okay.
It is not.
Okay.
I would have a, much as I know about this, and I once wrote a long story about the catchers catching a no-hitter, where I talked to Art Kushner and I talked to Jason Kendall's dad and guys who have caught no-hitters and what pressure they feel, and I never would have gotten this.
Gary Carter.
No, that's a really nice guess. One is Chico Ruiz of the Phillies.
Chico Ruiz.
The other is Jason Veritek.
Wow, okay. Okay.
Of the Red
Boston.
Sox.
Yeah.
Chico Ruiz caught four no-hitters. You're intimately familiar with one of them. Can you name the guys?
Chris Sale.
No, Chico Ruiz of the Phillies caught four of the Phillies.
Oh.
Chuchuiz.
So we're talking about the Phillies. Oh, it's Steve Carlton?
Nope. He's not that old.
Oh, okay. I don't know much about Chico Ruiz.
He caught Cole Hamels no-hitter against the Cubs.
Okay.
He caught two.
Oh, okay.
He caught two.
I thought Chico Ruiz was like an old-time guy.
Right. There is a Chico Ruiz, but not the catcher. That was the infielder. Yeah, that was a Reds infielder.
Yes, I was there. I was there.
I know you were, Les. All right, so
in that booth.
One by Cole Hamels, that was here, and two by Roy Halladay, one in the playoffs. And there was a combined no-hitter started by Hamels, and then relief innings from Jake Diekman, Ken Giles, and closed Jonathan Papelbon, combined no-hitter. So here's Jason Veritek. Can you name any of the four? And I'll give you a hint. All of these 6 degrees of baseball trivia questions always run through Chicago. Jason Veritek of the Boston Red Sox caught four no-hitters. Who are they?
Was there any knuckleballers involved?
No.
Okay. Roger Clemens?
No.
David Wells?
No.
Wow. I think I'm going to need some help here. Can I phone a friend?
Yeah, sure. Who do you want to phone?
Yeah, really.
You want to
hey,
phone
Adam?
Studs, because he's already looked it up.
What do you
all
got,
right, here's,
buddy?
this is really quite the names. Hideo Nomo.
Oh, my God,
Hideo Nomo was a Red Sox. That was in 2001. The next year, Derek Lowe. I forgot he threw a no-hitter.
Oh, my sinker baller, yeah.
And here's one that we all knew and forgot and we should never forget. Clay Buchholz.
Yes.
It was his second major league start.
Yes.
In
right.
2007. He did it against Baltimore. And I don't even think he made the playoff rotation that year.
No, he didn't.
He threw the no-hitter and they went on to win the
World Series. I think he might have gone back. Didn't Buchholz go back down to the minors even that
something
year?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And his fourth no-hitter, May 19th, 2008, against Kansas City, John Lester.
Huh. Wow.
Told you,
that's
it
good.
Always goes through Chicago. And here is, you could win a trivia question. This is not even fair. I would have no clue. There are three players, Veritek being one of them. Name the other two players to have played in Little League World Series, College World Series, Major League World Series.
Is Will Clark one of them?
Nope. And neither is Chris Bryant. Let me save you a guess. You don't have to poll the audience.
I don't know why I thought that. Is Rafael Palmeiro one?
No, you'll never guess.
Oh, wait. Buster Posey?
Nope. Ed Vosburgh, who is a pitcher.
Jesus.
And Michael Conforto, the Mets outfielder.
Oh, my God.
Three guys.
Yeah,
Little League World
Series, I don't feel bad.
College World Series, Major League World Series. And
all right, I don't feel bad.
And so we have to take a break, and I don't know, when we come back, let's talk about the only guy to win a Little League World Series and a Stanley Cup. We can do that later on. And we'll talk football after we take this break, because Trash Panda is, you didn't phone him, and Trash Panda is, Trash Pander, now I'm from New York.
He's the Pander.
All right, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.